Hello, welcome back. This is Dr. Raymond Zakari, nurse practitioner certified in family practice and psychiatry and trained in sex therapy. This is episode 7 in the series, The Psychology of It All, where I will continue to explain the self-sabotaging habits of mind that we all do from time to time. For an overview of the defense mechanisms and cognitive distortions, check out the first podcast episode entitled The Psychology of It All. The primary aim of this series is to help you decide if you need therapy, coaching, or just a good friend. Of course, nothing in this podcast should constitute any form of professional advice. The purpose of this podcast is purely education and entertainment. If you need help making prudent decisions, you should consult a professional that knows you. In the last episode, I explained that a defense mechanism was any automatic reaction against a stressor. In the area of mental health, it's a similar automatic mental process deployed to create some psychological distance between your mental anguish and distress until the problem either goes away or you can deal with it more appropriately. Defense mechanisms are not volitional. They are reactions. However, reactions can be trained. The last time I explained about defense mechanisms that were fueled by avoidance, which can give way to wishful thinking and repression. Overcoming avoidance and hesitation behaviors required you to build your distress tolerance while considering the cost-benefit associated with persistently using avoidance coping strategies. Today, I'm going to continue with the defense mechanisms of displacement and the socially acceptable counterpart of sublimation. I'm also going to talk about identification with the aggressor and reaction formation as we try to understand why do we do the things we do. Let's get right into it with displacement. Displacement occurs when we try to satisfy an impulse, say aggression, with a substitute object in a socially unacceptable manner. For example, your boss frustrates you, you go home and yell at your spouse yells at the kid kicks the dog. That's the displacement, which is a form of avoidance coping. The counterpart, the socially acceptable form, is called sublimation. Sublimation is when you take that aggressive impulse, say the boss frustrating you at work, and then you go take it out in a kickboxing class on the bag. Or, for example, pursuing some other productive endeavor. You can usually correlate the productive output with the frustration trigger. So, for example, in the movie 40 Days and 40 Nights, when the lead male character decides to abstain from any sexual contact for the duration of Lent, suddenly he finds himself becoming excessively productive from meticulously cleaning his room to building model airplanes. In both instances, displacement and sublimation, the individual may become aware of the reason for the behavior, yet continue to automatically do it as it's perceived to be more suitable than a confrontation. Identification. In a psychological term, this is a process where the person starts to emulate or copy attributes of the person, usually an authority figure, causing their distress. Why do we do this? Well, the psychobabble on this is that in infancy, newborns learn to identify with their parent in order to survive. It's said in this stage of development that the infant newborn cannot tell self from non-self and just considers themselves an extension of the breast. Again, all speculation. Another example, though, of identification to reduce psychological distress occurs following, say, a significant loss. So, for example, when you wear a loved one's watch or sweater, you're identifying with attributes of the stressor. People can also identify with role models or groups in which they have or would like to have something in common. For example, this mechanism plays a vital role in the formation of group cohesion and cultural assimilation. The identification process allows for group norms to form. Taken to an extreme example, identification can arise when a person perceives a psychological or physical threat to their well-being, as in the case of Stockholm Syndrome. This is a situation where the hostage identified with the terrorist. The famous case was that of Patty Hearst in the mid-70s. She was kidnapped at gunpoint by a left-wing militant group, and then she was abused and raped by her captors, but then later went on to join their movement and even took part in their bank robberies. At her trial, she was acquitted because she was said to have been a victim of Stockholm Syndrome. Reaction formation. This occurs when a person feels an urge to do or say something, but then acts or says something in the exact opposite direction of what they really wanted to say. This can manifest as a result of a feared social punishment. The person may think to themselves, I'm afraid that I will be criticized for something I believe or do, so I will visibly act in a way that shows how far I am from this unpopular position. Common pattern of reaction formation is when a person uses excessive behavior to communicate one thing when in reality they feel the opposite. For example, a person with a substance use disorder or with drugs and alcohol begins to extol the virtues of sobriety. Or say a mother who has a child that she may not have wanted becomes overly protective of the child. Or more commonly depicted in movies and sometimes in real life, a man who is gay acts out heterosexually by having a lot of sex and then boasts about his heterosexual behaviors and then openly talks about how much he doesn't like gay people. And worse, becomes incensed when their own sexual orientation is challenged in the least. This person's the guy who punches the other guy who makes a pass at him. The premise behind reaction formation is that the person is trying to cover up something perceived to be unacceptable by adopting the opposite stance. The behavior can be both conscious or unconscious, and done, the person may not be aware as to why they're acting in a certain way. Reaction formation is sometimes called exaggerated compensation or overboarding. Another example would be someone afraid of being called up for military deployment becomes a pacifist in an attempt to convince himself that war is wrong, rather than acknowledging a cowardly and real position that war is indeed scary. Reaction formation is more than just projection, in that the stressful thoughts and impulses are not acknowledged. An extreme example is in someone who's clinically paranoid or has obsessive-compulsive disorder who keeps repeating the same thing they know to be wrong. So what can you do with this information? When you notice yourself or someone else taking an extreme position on something, consider the possibility that your real view may be opposite. If you're trying to persuade someone, you can either support the current position or carefully expose how their underlying tendencies are opposite, and that it's okay to admit this. Remember that defense mechanisms are usually symptoms of deeper problems, and addressing them directly is often ineffective and counterproductive. Telling someone their position is opposed to their real feelings triggers something called the psychological paradox, in which the person becomes even more entrenched in their stated position. It's better to work on the primary problem first. In other words, what would happen if you acknowledge this primary problem or how you feel? In therapy, the reaction, the patient person, will be given a face-saving space to admit and accept what's happening in their life and their position. And then they're allowed to change their position while getting the support they need along the way to become emboldened to state their true thoughts and feelings. In this social media soundbite age where deep thoughts, questioning the prevailing wisdom, and reflection are just not acceptable, and the free exchange of ideas cannot really occur for fear of offending someone, the therapist's couch might be a viable option. That's our time for today. The next episode I'll conclude with the defense mechanisms of humor, suppression, and altruism. I'll do a quick summary. And until then, your homework is to subscribe, download, like, and share. Extra credit will be given for referrals to Metro Medical Direct. And until next time, this is Dr. Raymond Zakari. Thank you for listening.